Stand Christian greetings, D20 gathered here this morning. I trust you've been encouraged as we looked at the life of David again, realizing he was a man that God had chosen to fill that king role. We also know that this week is one that we set aside. No, we don't know when Jesus' birth was. Totally. Was it this time of the year? I'm not sure. There's speculation. But I'm thankful that we live in a nation that at the foundation of it was that it needed to have a day set aside and to remember Christ's birth. And I don't know if that's totally what all came into it then. I didn't go study it, but I know when I remember Christmas, that's what I think about. I think about Christ's birth. A king that came to earth as a baby. I trust that's what comes to your mind as well. Children sometimes can get excited about Christmas because of the gifts. Maybe they get gifts, and that's probably not all wrong. But we do good to remember what the true meaning of Christmas is. As we go through this season, this morning I am planning on bringing a Christmas message, I guess, leaning a little more towards that. I don't know which way to go. There's so much you could pull out of this, the Jesus being born here in this earth. There's so many ways you can go with a message out of here. As I studied, I thought we should have had a message about it every Sunday in December or on out through the year here. And just try to cover a little more. But I've chosen this morning to go take a little look at Jesus' home life. There's some things that we can glean from his parents. Now we know Jesus' parents was actually the Holy Spirit overshadowing Mary. We know Joseph was not Jesus' father. Joseph's DNA was not there. But still, he was a father to Jesus. We want to look at it as we go through the message here this morning. We're going to take this message and we're going to look at when in the Bible times when it comes to the fact of when Jesus was laid in the manger. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in the manger. And I'd like to take the message, the title I've given the message, A Child is Born. And I wanted to take it so many different ways. I've decided to title it that, A Child is Born. But I'd like to think about who was there at that manger. Gather around and look at their lives. And look at the surrender in their lives. Look at what their lives consisted of. And try to encourage us today. Well, who was there? We know that Joseph and Mary were there. You could turn in your Bibles to Luke. We're going to be turning to two main passages today, and that is, we're going to be turning to Matthew and we're going to be turning to Luke. And we're going to try to read some from each of them there. In Luke chapter 2, we can see where it says that Joseph went out to be for this taxing that was passed on, and they went to verse 4, and Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Yes, that city of David, that one that we studied about in our Sunday school this morning, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. You remember that David is who? Jesus' ancestry. His lineage was going to come through that. To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Who was there? Joseph, Mary, and the baby Jesus. We're going to look at them this morning. As I study for this message, I didn't put this in my notes. It's something that came to me, and maybe I'll just ask the question. How old was Joseph and how old was Mary? Do you ever think about that? You see, when I was a youth, I used to think that this must have been somebody that was older, you know. I'm not wanting to put myself in that old category, but in the older class. Youth, when do you get married? As youth, young men and young women come together. And this espousal was something that happened in their time. It was something that a lot of times the parents set up. And there was gifts given and there was vows made that it was just the same as a wedding vow. To break it was an unheard of thing. It was a promise you made. Similar to your wedding vows today. And to break it was really... Well, to break it in the way that Mary was accused of and Joseph was accused of was punishable by death. If we go back into Deuteronomy 22:27, a betrothal that was given and it was broken by unfaithfulness. A child born out of wedlock. Was unfaithfulness. But we see this, Joseph and Mary, as they looked at their own lives, and I believe as I asked you what age they were, you as youth sit up and take notice. You're planting seeds in your life that's going to bear fruit in your marriages someday if the Lord leads you to that. And I also want you to think of this. We know the account very well. But as the Lord looked down and He chose Mary to be the one, would you have the characteristics that she had that God would choose you? Mary was very much a normal individual, I believe. Joseph was very much a normal individual. They had love blossoming in their relationship. There was a feeling between the two. They had made a commitment to one another, and that was that betrothal. And they were going to stand true to it. I believe Joseph trusted Mary to keep her vow. And I believe Mary trusted Joseph as he was preparing a place for her to be faithful to her. So I want to take these three that we have listed this morning and look at them. And then we're going to read some verses here, a good many verses, and we want to look at this. And we're going to look at Mary first. So turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. And we are going to read verse 26. Through 56. I know that's a lot of reading, but we're going to take the time to read it. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, For thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste, into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord shall come to me? For, lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leapt in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For, behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done in me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath hope in his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. We're going to cease reading there. We have this account here. Here's Mary. Mary was old enough that she understood how children were born. She understood that. How can these things be? I've been faithful to Joseph. If I'm found with child, what's going to happen to our marriage? What's Joseph going to say? I don't know if all those thoughts went through her mind, but put yourself in those shoes. Think with me, in their culture, in the way it was in their days. I can't help but think that went through her mind. But she had a relationship with the Lord God. What are some facts we do know for sure? One thing that we know for sure, in this, according to Scripture, and I trust that each one here believes, and with their heart, that Mary was a virgin, she was pure. She had no suspicious relationship with any man. She was pure in heart, she was pure in mind, she was pure in character. She was virgin. What is another thing that we know about her? Verse 30. She had favor with God. She had favor with God. God looked at her and He was pleased with her life. And she had the favor of God on her. I believe before this time, she knew God. She knew who He was, and she believed in Him. Mary. Yes. The mother of Jesus. I believe she was a humble individual. Verse 48 brings that out. She was a humble individual. He hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. She just couldn't fathom it. She's just a humble one that's striving to serve God. You know, you jump down to verse 51. And Mary's making this declaration. She makes this statement in verse 51. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. I can almost see that Mary thinking that life was coming together. She was espoused to Joseph. Life's going to go on like it normally does in those days. And she was going to be faithful to Joseph. And she was faithful to Joseph. But all of a sudden God throws this into her life and she's taken back by it. Maybe she starts seeing that she's starting to build up some pride in her life. As she makes that statement in verse 51. I don't know. That may be reading more into it than we should. But too often today we can get into that. Where we feel like everything's working out fine. And then we're setting ourselves up for God to put a detour in our lives. Mary was in a detour time of her life. But she was a humble individual. She accepted what was placed on her. The next point I have under Mary, what about her? She was obedient. Mary was obedient. She listened to the angel share God's plan for her. And she was open to it. God, if that's where you want me to be, if you have chosen this lowly, humble individual, if that's the place you have placed me in life, I'm going to go there. I'm going to fill that spot. She laid everything on the altar at that relationship when she agreed to that. In her obedience, she laid everything. She gave it all to God. Her honor. Her reputation. Even her love for Joseph. We'll get to that when we get to Matthew and read the account there. As Joseph, we know the account, as Joseph was deciding about putting Mary away. I believe Mary knew that it could come to that. But she was trusting God and she was obedient to Him. She was in joyful submission to God's will in her life. And she was willing to accept wherever God led her. Do you think that just started? Do you think that just started when that angel came to her? I don't believe so. She accepted the fact that God was in control of every detail of her life. God knew when this child was going to be born. He knew the accommodations of the birth. Mary was willing to lay it all out for God. What do you have for me, God? I challenge each and every one of us. In our lives, are we laying ourselves out like Mary did? Willing to just lay it all out And as God takes you through what can be seem like a struggle to you, realizing He has everything in His control. There is power there in the Lord. Well, we could look at Mary as she was obedient, and she, in her obedience and her following through with the Lord, she used what was available. Christ came, and we call it the manger scene. A joyous time in her life as she remembered that promise that the whole world is going to recognize her and to realize, going to call her blessed. Mothers today, you bring on a descendant. If the Lord has given you children. If not, there's usually a string of those that look up to you. That can come along later and say, with blessing, the leading and the direction you've given in their lives. Sometimes you find yourself in those times when it's very, very demanding, very challenging, and the times get tough. Remember, that's when your witness shines the hardest. As we finish up in the account of Mary, the one that gave birth to Jesus, I'd like with you to turn with me, in your Bibles to Acts chapter 1. And I want to point out something about Mary. We know the account is of Jesus' birth. Mary was called with a special calling. She was called with a special calling, and she filled her calling well. She gave birth to Jesus. Her and Joseph were united in marriage, and they raised Jesus up. I don't know where Joseph was in later on times. There's some speculation that he might have passed away soon after Jesus was 12. I don't know. And I don't think it makes a difference. But we find here another account of Mary, the mother of Jesus. Acts chapter 1, verse 14. The disciples are gathered together, and they all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. I don't know where his dad was. I don't know where his father was. Where Joseph was. But she was with the faithful there. Now, I bring this point out because sometimes I think we don't preach about Mary. We don't like to share much about Mary because we somehow think of the Catholics and that, how they lift Mary up and she was some divine individual. I want to bring us to our attention. Mary was a common individual. When it finally was done, she brought birth to Jesus. Jesus grew up. He moved on in his ministry. He has suffered and died on the cross. He's ascended into heaven. And there we see Mary, the mother of Jesus. It didn't go to her head. It didn't destroy her. No. She was searching. As with the others. Let's remember as we face trials in life, as we go through life, the trials we have may change as time goes on. And I've talked to many individuals, it does. From a youth through parenthood into the older years, life changes. We see Mary, faithful where God called her. Let's be that today. Let's look at the second individual and his life there at the manger scene. Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. And we're going to go look at Joseph. Some insight into the life of Joseph. We are going to take the time to read verse 18 through 25. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, when they came together, she was found with child of the Holy... Let me read that again. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Some facts about the life of Joseph. Verse 19, he was a just man. He was upright. He was innocent. He was holy. Look that word up sometime. Just man. There was something about his character that was strong. His love for Mary was there. It was growing. It was a deep love. And he faced a disappointment. Mary was found with child. Joseph knew one thing, it was not his child. To him, there was no simple solution to this problem. He had the choice. He could take her out and publicly shame her, and have her put to death. But his love for Mary went beyond that. We see it. If you think about it in verse 19, he didn't want that to happen to Mary. Not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. He wanted it to go without. He wanted to protect Mary as much as he could. Well, Joseph was a man that was obedient to God. We know that as he had a relationship with God and as he talked with God. Fathers, young men, are you obedient to God and to his word? Are you like David in our Sunday school this morning? Do you receive wise counsel? Do you take it to heart and let it affect you? Joseph was obedient to God. He was open to God and to God's direction in his life. Turn with me to Chapter 2, verse 13. He was obedient to God in his direction in his life. We see this, chapter 2, verse 13. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt and be there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Verse 19. But when Herod was dead, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise, go. Yes. Joseph was obedient to God and his direction in his life. After the child was born, but let's step back and look at it. When the angel told him, Joseph, fear not to take Mary for your wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost. Humanly speaking, it's not possible to take a wife of somebody that was unfaithful. But Joseph, as he was obedient to God, and as he had walked with God, and as he was open to God's leading, with God all things are possible, and he accepted it. Think what it did to his reputation. I'm just going to read one verse in Luke chapter 3. I want to come back to Matthew there again. But Luke chapter 3, I want to get this one verse. As we look at Joseph and his reputation. Oh yes, he put it in jeopardy. Luke chapter 3, verse 23. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which is the son of Heli. You see, the world, those looking on, still said, that's an illegitimate son before wedlock, son of Joseph. Walk around with a reputation like that on your head. Joseph knew it. He knew it wasn't so. He didn't let that stop him. He walked where God had him to. He was obedient to God. He believed and he obeyed God. Brethren, today, that makes strong men for God. To believe and to obey God makes strong men that can face the trials. Well, we look at Joseph as well. And we know from this account, of what the little bit that we have of him, that he was a leader in their home. Joseph was a leader in their home. As he was espoused to Mary, I believe he had planned ahead and he was thinking about the time when he was going to lead his own home, and he was making steps in preparation for it as he was obedient to God and he walked with God and he believed and obeyed him. Helped him to be a leader in their home. Another verse in Luke. I should have wrote these down so we don't have to turn to them, but I'm going to turn back there. Luke 2:41. As we think of Joseph being a leader, Luke 2:41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover. Without fail. It was important to him. He was a leader, a spiritual leader. What for goals do you have, young men, for your marriages? Can you be a spiritual leader? Joseph was. Well, Joseph was also a leader. As he led his family, he was a spiritual leader. But he was also a leader that, as he went through life, he trusted in God to lead him. His leadership was under God's leadership. And he was going to go where God asked him to. You know, those verses that I read was as God came to him, an angel came and said, Go here. And he went there and go here and he went there. God appeared to him in a dream with directions on where to take his family, and he had hearkened to the counsel. And he took it. Well, as Joseph was a leader in a home today, also is one that has to supply for the financial needs of a home. I believe Joseph tried for that as well. He was not a wealthy man. He was not a wealthy man. Luke 2, if we go to that, we know that when Jesus was taken to the temple, they brought a pair of turtle doves. That was those that were poor. If they were poor, they could bring those for the sacrifice of the purification. That's what was there. He was not a wealthy man. But he was a carpenter. Matthew 13:55 says that. Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? The people placed him where he was. Joseph the carpenter. A man that worked for his living. A man that strived to supply his family. He was a leader. And he strived to do what he could to meet his family needs. Even this son that was not his. Let's go to Jesus. The other one that was there at the manger. As he came, as he was given birth there. We have seen Mary. She subjected herself to where God would have her to be. She was open to God's leading. She was open to the authority over her. We've looked at Joseph. He too was open to the authority in his life. He obeyed God and he believed God and he left it affect his life. This baby Jesus was in subjection to those in authority over him. This baby Jesus was that one, that Messiah, that left heaven. The glories of heaven to come to this earth as a baby. How are babies when they're born? They're so helpless. They're so helpless. And when baby Jesus was born, it took Joseph and Mary to care for him. A helpless baby, placed in the care of these two special parents that had walked, they had tried to walk their lives in God's blessing, and they strive to live every day for God. He surrendered his place in heaven. Spiritually, he surrendered himself to the place where he could face temptation here on this earth. Yes. The Bible says Jesus was tempted in all points such as we are, yet without sin. As Jesus faced, as he came as this baby, and he grew up through life, through the year of two, and sometimes we call them the terrible twos. I don't know. Not sure when that is sometimes. Is it different ages? But you know, they're going up through and then they get to be a teenager and there's trials, there's There's relationship struggles, and there's whatever you place there. There can be struggles as they make changes in their lives. Jesus had parents that cared about him, taught him much. I'd like to turn to Luke chapter 2. We have bypassed the main Luke chapter 2 account of Jesus' birth. I trust that you read that over this time of year, and maybe beyond that as well, but I just want, oftentimes as we get together as on my wife's side, this account in Luke chapter 2 is read, and I challenge you all to do that. I'm not going to do it this morning. We've touched some into it. But I'd like to go, as we think of the life of Jesus, we've looked how he came as a baby, helpless. He went through the ages of life. He subjected himself from heaven to become as a man here on this earth. We find him at a different age in life. We find something that I want to pull some thoughts from. Luke chapter 2, verse 41 to 51. I'd like to read that at this time. We read verse 41, but let's read it again. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey and sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintances. And when they found him not, they returned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all they that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee, sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them, and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and man. Jesus came as a baby. He has gone through the birth, which is what we think about this time of the year, the birth. But he's gone beyond that. He's had birthdays. He's come to the age of 12. His parents, Joseph and Mary, have striven to teach him what he needed. They go up there every year. Think with me. They're coming home. If you had a child that you couldn't trust, you wouldn't go this far away from him and not know where he's at. But I believe Jesus, as he was submissive to his parents and surrendered to them and their leading in his life up to this point in time, he was trustworthy. And all of a sudden, he's not there. And so they search for him, and they find him. And he's sitting here with these high up people, asking them questions, answering their questions, just talking to them, having good conversation. One that these well-educated people were just amazed. 12 years old. Well, you say, well, he's Jesus. Yes. But I believe his home life had something to do with it as well. Because what happened? When they said, when Mary says, we've sought you sorrowing, where are you at? He answered them. His life is starting to change. And that's oftentimes when you see young people today changing as well. They start to comprehend. They start to relate to life differently. That's the age Jesus was here. But what did he do? He went down with them to Nazareth and was subject to them. His time of service that for God was not there yet. He still had a work to do in the home. At this 12 years of age, he was realizing that there was another authority going to come into his life. But he wasn't there yet. He wasn't there yet. And what did he do? He went. He related to his parents and obedient. He recognized and responded to their authority. What happened? As Jesus went back and was with his parents, verse 52, and Jesus increased in wisdom, stature, and in favor with God and men. There's a lot packed in that verse. Maybe I'll take time to strive to open it up just in a few minutes here. Jesus increased. He grew in these areas. Wisdom. He learned those things he needed for life. The wisdom of the world. He learned how to read, write. Yeah. He did. He wrote in the sand and people understood apparently. He went to the synagogue and he read. He learned those things he needed for life. And he also learned beyond that to work. Here was his dad at a carpenter trade. He learned the trade, I believe. He learned to work. His wisdom increased as he pondered life and what did life consist of, the purpose of life and what he is here for. And as he thought of God, and I believe Mary probably told him the special place that he was called to in life. And he was striving to put it together, how he fulfills his Father's plan for his life. He increased in wisdom. And he got taller. He increased in stature. He no longer was just a short little boy. He got taller. He went through the normal body changes as you and I do. But what I want to think about is this fact. What I feel really loads this verse up. In favor with God and man. He looked at his parents. He looked at Joseph. He looked at Mary. And their obedience to God. And the way they related to worship of God. And the way they related to trials that come in their lives. And everything about it. It created a hunger. That went beyond what he was sent to the earth to do, I believe. It created a hunger. As he looked for at his parents. And their walk with God. And it helped him to a greater extent as he realized God and his Father and how he needs to be obedient to him. Well, the favor with man. He learned how to serve others. I don't think the people in that time was any different than today. Obedience to people and serving them and giving to them and sharing of your life with them brings you in their favor. Jesus was full of that in his life as he went into his ministry at age 30. He was full of giving to others. Mary was willing to give. She gave of her life to be used of God. Joseph, in shielding Mary's, what seemed to him as Mary's fault, he gave of his life, his reputation. Jesus had examples right in his own home. Well, his surrender went beyond that. I trust today you're thankful that Jesus didn't stay as a baby, but he grew and he increased. Wisdom, stature, favor with God and man. He went beyond that. He grew up. The Spirit descended on him like a dove. And God said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." His life of surrender went beyond that. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke 22. Luke 22, verse 42. His surrender was put to the test. As he's in the garden, he's praying to his Father. I want to read this, verse 42. Jesus praying, he's saying, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." His mother was surrendered to God's will. His father was surrendered to God's will. Jesus was surrendered to God's will. The question is for us, are you, am I, surrendered to God's will for your life and my life? Are we picking up where God would have us and putting our all into it? Whether it is parenting, whether it's as young people, setting goals in your life, building your life for Christ, wherever you find yourself, are you surrendered to God and His leading? So I trust this Christmas season we are remembering, yes, the birth of Jesus. But let's remember this, that He didn't stay as a baby. He grew up and paid the price for you and I. One last scripture. Turn with me in your Bibles to Galatians. Last scripture I'll turn to here in the closing. Galatians 6, verse 20. That's not the right verse. Galatians 2, verse 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I." Paul's writing to the Galatians, he's saying this. "Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." Jesus was born here on this earth to Mary and Joseph. He went ascended back to heaven. Now He can live, be born through the new birth into your life, and to be changing your life. Verse 16, chapter 1, verse 16, we also see, "To reveal His Son in me," Jesus in me, Paul's saying, "to reveal Him in me." I want to finish with this question. This question that's taken from Matthew 2, saying, "Where is He, as the wise men came, where is He that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen His star in the east and are come to worship Him." I want to close with these thoughts. Where is He that was born King of the Jews? Where is Jesus today? Where is He in your life? Is He inside, making a difference? Or are we like the men and women at the inn that had no room for Jesus? "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given,
And he grew up and he paid the price for you and I and our sins. Let's accept him in our hearts. Let's kneel for prayer.